Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to begin Maseches Yevamos and Seder Nashim. Maseches Yevamos is known as one of the hardest Masechtas in all of Shas, but that's mostly because of the sugyas in the Gemara of Yevamos. The Mishnayos, generally speaking, are not super-duper challenging, although the first one is a bit complex, so important to focus a little bit on the very first Mishnah. It's a long, famous first Mishnah. Just a little bit of background into Yevamos in general. Of course, the concept of Yevamos, the concept of Yibum, is the idea that if a man dies without having had any children, and he has a brother, then his wife is Zakuk liyibum. She needs Yibum before she can marry anybody else. It's she's usher to the world until she has either Yibum, where she'll then be married to the brother, or Chalitza, which would then be Matir her to marry other people. We find Yibum as early as prior to Matan Torah, with the way Chazal understand, the Ramban quotes with Yehuda and Tamar, that there was a certain sense after Erva Onan died that Yehuda was responsible to do Yibum. Apparently the pre-Matan Torah version of Yibum involves a father doing Yibum, or perhaps any family member doing Yibum. But obviously the Torah version of Yibum, post-Matan Torah, is that it is a brother who performs the Yibum. There is a concept called a Tzara that comes up a lot, particularly in the first Mishnah. And the concept of a Tzara is that is a co-wife. So it's just a term that we use to describe someone who you're married to the same man as she is married to. Meaning if two women are married to the same man, their relationship with each other is that they are tsaros. Now the halacha is, if a man dies and he was married to multiple wives and he had no children, so the brother only needs to do yibum or chalitza on one of the wives, and then the rest of them are free to marry whoever they want once that yibum or chalitza is taken care of. There's an exemption from Yibum when one of the wives is an erva for the brother. Meaning, let's say Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, and then Reuven drops dead. So Shimon obviously doesn't need to do Yibum. He's not allowed to do Yibum with his own daughter, and because of that, he doesn't even have to do Chalitza. And not only that, any of the other wives of Reuven, even the ones that have no previous relationship to Shimon, are also exempt from any Yibum v'Chalitza. So I think those are the critical ideas to know going into the first Mishnah. So says the first Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos. Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potros Tzarosehen. I gave the example of Shimon's daughter married to Reuven, but it could be any one of 15 relationships that Shimon has with the wife of Reuven that would pater her from Yibum, and all of her co-wives, all of her tsaros, from Yibum as well. The tsaros tsarosehen, min achalitza min ha-yibum. And not only the tsaros, but the tsaros of the tsaros. Meaning, what that means, what's a tsara of a tsara? If, let's say, in addition to Reuven and Shimon, where there is, she's Shimon's daughter, there was another brother, there was Levi, who she was not an erva to, and Levi did Yibum when Reuven dropped dead. Levi did Yibum with one of the other wives, not with Shimon's daughter, with one of the other wives when Reuven dropped dead, and then Levi also died without any children, he had two wives, then both of his widows are also pater from Chalitza and from Yibum with the original brother, Shimon, with the one who was the father of one of the original wives. So one of them does not need Yibum or Chalitza because she was the tzara of an erva to Shimon, and the other one is what we call a tzara of a tzara. Ad sofa olam. That will continue no matter how many brothers there are, no matter how many times they keep dropping dead and someone marries, someone does yibum on one of the wives. So even if it's a tzara, 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 or a tzara, 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 it would still exempt all of them from yibum v'chalitza. But what are these 15 relationships that actually exempt a person from yibum v'chalitza? The eluhein, they are the following. So number one, bito, the example we gave before, that Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. Number two, ubas bito, Reuven is married to Shimon's granddaughter, his daughter's daughter. Number three, ubas bino, Reuven is married to Shimon's granddaughter, but not his daughter's daughter, rather his son's daughter. And then you have people who are erva to Shimon, not because of his relationship, but because of his wife's relationship. Bas ishto, it's Shimon's wife's daughter, ubas bino, or Shimon's wife's son's daughter, ubas bito, or Shimon's wife's daughter's daughter. And then you have another three that are ancestors, not descendants, but ancestors of Shimon's wife. Chamoso, his wife's mother, meaning a mother-in-law. Ve'im Chamoso, his wife's mother's mother. Ve'im Chamiv, his wife's father's mother. So if Reuven's surviving wife was any of those relationships to Shimon, then neither Reuven's neither that relationship nor any of Reuven's other wives require Yibum V'chalitza. So far we have 9 out of the 15 that are mentioned. Achoso Me'imo, number 10 is it's his half sister whom with whom he shares a mother. Va'achos Imo, his aunt, his mother's sister, is number 11. Va'achos Ishto, his wife's sister, is number 12. Ve'ishas Achiv Me'imo, number 13, is the wife of his half brother with whom he shares a mother. And then there's one more erva that involves a brother. Ve'eshes achiv shelo hayo ba'olamo, the wife of his brother who he didn't share the world with, meaning the wife of a brother who died before this brother was born, meaning the by the time this brother came into the world, his brother had already been deceased, and he had been married. Let's say a young guy, Nebuch, was married, and he dropped dead at, in his early 20s, and then the parents of that young fellow who dropped dead had another child. So that's Eisha Sachiv Shalohei Ba'olamo. And then the 15th and final erva that paters herself and all the tzaros from Yibum B'chalitza is V'chalaso, the daughter-in-law. So the Mishnah goes now summarizes everything we said. Harei Elu, all of these relationships potros tzarosein, v'tzaros tzarosein min ha'chalitza min ha'yibum ad sof ha'olam. They exempt their tzaros, they exempt the tzaros of their tzaros from requiring any yibum or chalitza forever. Now the Mishnah tells us that they don't exempt their co-wives from chalitza or yibum if they're no longer married to the brother at the time that the brother died. Meaning if a brother dropped dead and his ex-wife was his brother's daughter or granddaughter or daughter-in-law or whatever, or any of those 15 relationships, so that doesn't exempt his current wives at the time of his death from yibum v'chalitza v'kulan imesu. If they died before their husband died, omeanu, or they did what's called miyun, they annulled their marriage to him before he died. It's an annulment of a marriage, midrabanan, onis garshu, or if they were divorced from him before he died, so oshnim tzu islandis, or it turned out that they were an islandis, so the whole thing was a mekachtos, and they were never really married, tsarosei and mutaros. Then in all those cases, their co-wives, who the dead man was still married to at the time of his death, are allowed to marry the living brother, and therefore are indeed obligated in either yibum or chalitza. Now, some of these 15 women that we mentioned, there aren't so many ways in which their marriage to the dead brother could have ended before he died. I mean, we just listed a whole bunch of ways that the marriage could have ended before the brother dropped dead. We said mesu, miyanu, nisgarshu, nimtsu ailinis, right? 4 different ways. Not all 4 of those ways apply to all 15 women. Meaning, v'yata yachalomer b'chamoso, ube'im chamoso, ube'im chamav, shenimtsu islandis o shameyanu. Namely, the idea that they were found to be an islandis, or that they did miyun, would not apply to ancestors, because ancestors implies that they had children. So if a woman did miyun, it means she was still a katana, so she didn't have any children yet. If a woman was nimtsa islandis, it means that she was never physically capable of having children, so it wouldn't be that you'd have a mother-in-law or grandmother-in-law or something like that. That was, in fact, Nimtza Eilinus. Okay, all of that was Mishnah Aleph. Now we move on to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. So the Mishnah describes a case where an erva paters her tzara from Yibum Chalitza. Ketzad potros tzarosein. What's the case where any of these 15 women that we just mentioned pater their co-wives from Chalitza or Yibum, like we just said? Ha'isa bito achas mikol ha'arayos ha'elu nisua le'echav. If a man's daughter or any of the other 14 relationships that we mentioned were married to your brother, v'lo isha acheres, and the brother was also married married to another woman that you have no previous relationship with. Vameis, and then the brother died. Kishem shebito patura, just like your daughter or any of these other 14 relationships do not require yibum v'chalitza, kach tsarasa patura, so too her co-wife does not require yibum v'chalitza. Now the Mishnah is going to describe the case where the co-wife of the co-wife, the tsaras erva, is part of from yibum v'chalitza. So holcha tsaras bito v'niseis la'achav hasheni. Let's say the tsara of your daughter then goes and does yibum with one of the other brothers of your deceased brother. So the tsara. So again, so you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are brothers. Now let's switch it up a little bit. Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. Reuven drops dead. Reuven was not only married to Shimon's daughter, he was also married to a bunch of other random women. So Reuven drops dead. So now Mrs. Reuven goes and does not marry Shimon because she's a tsaras erva. She goes and marries Levi, not Shimon's daughter. One of the other Mrs. Reuven's goes and marries Levi. Levi's also married to a whole bunch of other women. Now when Levi drops dead, not only does Mrs. Reuven not require Yibum v'chalitza, but none of the other wives require Yibum v'chalitza either. V'lo isha acheres, this third brother has another wife, v'meis, and then the third brother dies, k'shem shetzaras bito petura, just as the daughter's co-wife is pata from chalitza or Yibum with him, kach tsaras tsarasa petura. So too the co-wife of the co-wife is pata from Yibum v'chalitza, afilu hein mea, and even if there were 100 of them, there were 100 brothers, and they keep on marrying each one drops dead, and they keep on marrying another co-wife keeps marrying the surviving brother, and it comes out that it's like a kli revi, chamishi, shishi, shvi, you know, it's so far removed from the original erva, nevertheless they're all pater from Yibum v'chalitza. So now the Mishnah talks about a case where the erva isn't married to the dead man anymore when he died, so she doesn't pater her co-wife from Yibum v'chalitza. Ketzad imesu tzaros en hutaros. What's the case where we said that if they had died, then their co-wives are allowed to do Yibum v'chalitza? Ha'isa bito achas mikal arayas ha'ilunis u'la achiv. A fellow's daughter or any of the other relationships are married to the fellow's brother. Velo isha acheres, and that brother also had another wife. But Mesa Bito Oniskarsha, the daughter dies or gets divorced from the brother, so the marriage is over. The Acharkach Mes Achiv, and then the brother drops dead. The brother who is married to this erva of his brother drops dead. Tsarasumuteris, and the daughter's former co-wife, ex-co-wife, is allowed to do Yibum. Now the Mishnah talks about a case that we didn't talk about in the previous Mishnah, meaning essentially up until now, Mishnah Beis has just been an elaboration and explanation of Mishnah Aleph. But now we break new ground. We said that if a girl was a ketana and was given over in marriage by her mother or her brothers, then there's something called miyun. She could refuse the marriage and therefore annul the marriage. So the kalei hayicholos Ma'in, any of these ervas who had done miyun and canceled the marriage to the deceased brother before he died, velomiana, anyone who could have canceled, had the right to cancel the marriage and did not do miyun and stayed married to him when he died, so does not totally pater the tzara, tzarasa, choletzas velomis yavemis. Then the co-wife can only do chalitza but cannot do yibum, because midar raisa, the marriage to the deceased brother that this little girl had was not a real marriage on a daraisa level. So on a daraisa level, the tzara was really the only wife. So midaraisa, the living brother, has to either do yibum or chalitza. We're not going to allow him to do yibum because we do recognize the marriage on a derabanan level, and therefore the only option left is chalitza. So let's review what we learned today. Mishnah Aleph, we learned that there were 15 relationships that if your brother is married to one of these 15 relationships, then not only does that woman not require yibum v'chalitza with you, but any of her co-wives also do not require yibum v'chalitza with you. And then we said, but if the marriage had ended before the brother died, then the co-wives will require yibum v'chalitza. And we said not only do they not require Yibum Chalitza, and their Tzaros not require Yibum Chalitza, the Tzaros don't require Yibum Chalitza. And then we said that there are certain relationships where you can't end the marriage with Miyun or her being an islandist because they are already proven to bear children, and therefore there's no such thing as Miyun or finding an islandist where the woman is already proven to bear children. And then in Mishnah Beis, we just elaborated on the cases where a Tzara would be Pater from Yibum Chalitza and what the case is of a tsaras tsara, and we also described what the case is of that if they die, that if they predecease the brother, then the tsaros are allowed to do yibum chalitza. And then the Mishnah finished off by saying that if she could have done miyun but did not do miyun, then the tsaros do require some sort of heter. We just don't allow them to do yibum. We only allow them to do chalitza. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel.